You're listening to MoneyWeb at Midday.
Now, cabin crew at FlySafe Air, as I understand it, embarking on more industrial action after wage talks have deadlocked, the airline issuing an employer-initiated lockout from last night, but insisting that flights are continuing as scheduled. Management says its latest offer includes a 5.7% increase plus a 7.5% annual bonus. It's now seeking CCMA Section 150 mediation to fast-track a deal. FlySafe Air adds that November runs on reduced pre-festive maintenance and schedule anyway, with additional crew onboarded. That is helping, it says, keep operations stable. But I guess the question is, for how long? Joining us now from the airline, Kirby Gordon, a very warm welcome. What's the position as we speak today? Are you fully operational?
We are fully operational. Thanks, Jeremy. Yes, absolutely. All flights are departing as per schedule, and they're fully crewed and covered proportionately. So we are looking good.
Why a lockout now? What has changed at the negotiating table?
I think the lockout is an important mechanism that exists within the bigger kind of democratic framework to ensure that there's enough pressure on actually getting a solution put in place. So at this stage, a dispute was obviously declared some time ago within processes at the CCMA. 30 days passed since then, which brings us into the realm of protected industrial action in one direction or another with a sufficient notice, obviously. And it was important to us that we initiate this lockout in order to be able to put pressure on the situation and ensure that we get the maximum focus on ensuring that we get this across the line as soon as possible. And then, of course, also critically to preserve the airlift in the country around the G20 and, of course, ahead of the festive season.
How are you going to get this across the line then?
So the good news is that things are going very well. As we speak right now, the parties are engaged in ongoing discussions. Last night there, we had some very constructive discussions. They didn't quite manage to get a signature onto the settlement agreement, but they are at the point where they are actually discussing the settlement agreement. So it seems that common ground is not far away.
Is your schedule really protected, though, if the situation either escalates or continues?
Not indefinitely. At this stage it is, and certainly over the next couple of weeks, which it would be history-making if the strike were to extend far beyond that. But it certainly is for the time being, given that we've got this seasonally reduced flying ahead of the December period where there's some aircraft getting maintenance so that we can work them extra hard over that period, and the fact that we've got some additional crew on the books at the moment in order to be able to facilitate that flying as well. It is actually quite a fortuitous period for us to go through this particular growing pain and still be able to protect the schedule accordingly.
But relying on non-striking staff also risks morale within the airline and maybe even long-term stability. This is a risk, isn't it?
It's always a risk. I mean, the reality is, everyone would always seek to avoid industrial action. It's always a course of last resort. Unfortunately, with an offer that is between 16 and 19% increase on the table, I mean, that is huge in the current economy. And we as a company do have to draw a line somewhere along the way to ensure our own sustainability in the long term. It's never a great situation. It certainly warrants a lot of work after the fact to try and repair that morale and to repair those relationships. But it is unfortunately the only course of action at this point.
It's the second round of industrial action, as far as I understand it. It also raises questions about the relationship between staff and the carrier, doesn't it?
It does. And that's, I think, a very, very legitimate question. We did have a pilot strike earlier in the year, and this is a cabin crew strike. What I can tell you, Jeremy, is that the relationship is actually very strong. SAF Air is a great employer. The teams are, fantastically looked after, and generally the spirit in the environment is very good. I mean, I don't think that we would have engendered the success that we have thus far without teams that were really pulling apart. I mean, this airline has been built on the teams that work to it. But unfortunately, what we've got is a number of trade unions who are in an environment where they get to exercise a fair amount of power. Given the size that we have in the market, 67% of the domestic seat capacity, if we were at 10% of the domestic seat capacity, they would be holding a company to ransom. But the reality is, when they take on an airline of our scale and our scope, it's not just the company that they're holding to ransom, it's the flying public, it's the country, it's the economy. So there's quite a lot of power in their hands at this point. And of course, if you're at the negotiating table and you're trying to get a deal over the line and trying to get the very best deal, you're not going to take a knife to a gunfight.
Critics say that the lockout is maybe heavy-handed and it does risk your culture, or places risk to your culture. How do you justify a lockout?
I think that is a legitimate criticism, and it is certainly something to be seen. I think at this point, the reality is that the offer is just so incredibly high that it warrants the fact that we need to be quite stern about drawing a line in the sand to ensure that we get this over the line. And equally, we have a very significant responsibility to the public and to the economy to ensure that we maintain our air connectivity, and leaving the opportunity to call the industrial action into the hands of the union, who certainly would be able to do so before an important G20 event or around the 16th of December in order to create maximum damage and apply maximum pressure to the company, doesn't feel like a responsible course of action for us.
It seems to me, and again, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, but a lunch break issue also seems central to the dispute. It would seem to me that this is a basic workplace right. What's the issue here, and why hasn't it been resolved?
It's actually a new issue that's come to the fore, Jeremy. To be honest, there was a discussion right in the beginning of some of the substantive negotiations around a number of the basic conditions of employment that the union certainly had a different interpretation as to how we employ those in our general policies. Of course, we use the same procedures that have been used by all airlines and that we've been using for the last 10 years, so we differ on that view. But the agreement between ourselves and them was to say, well, let's take this to the Department of Labor and have an interpretation done, and we'll both abide by whatever that is. So that was actually an agreement that's been on the table all along. The reality is that according to the Minister of Labour, cabin attendants are highly paid employees, so a lot of those provisions below the threshold in the basic conditions don't necessarily apply to them. So we're quite confident that we're on the right side of everything and that the Department of Labour will find that there. So it really just needs to be agreed and understood that this is part of that remit.
Just a line to this, and you did reference the G20. How ready are you for the G20 rush on travel? And is flying going to be more expensive come the end of this month?
We certainly are ready. If we can get over this hurdle, which we anticipate doing, by then we should have plenty of airlift and capacity to be able to do it. Obviously, we also have to prepare ourselves for the big December rush, which is possibly the biggest part of the year, and I think still will remain so, even past this point. The reality on pricing, yes, Jeremy, I mean, it's always about supply and demand. So if there is a period where there's a great degree of demand and we throw in as much supply as we can at it, but there's still more demand than the supply is available, we will see an increase in pricing. That's a natural consequence of the sort of ebbs and flows of the market that we trade on. But I don't anticipate that it'll be anything near the sorts of highs that we would see during peak holiday periods.
Kirby Gordon from FlySafair, thank you very much indeed.